meaning the Lord. Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Did you know God has a name? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. This morning I will be teaching about the I am. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We are so grateful for this time that we have right now. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that we have your breath in our lungs. Lord God, we are made in your image, and help us to understand who you are. Reveal to us fresh revelation, because your word does not return void. Lord Jesus, we pray that every person listening will really, truly know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I wasn't always into the Bible. I never read the Bible until I think I was like 22 years old. But one of the reasons why I love the Word of God is because every question that I ever had, and every question that I actually didn't even know I had, was answered by the Word of God. It wasn't until I took time with it and I studied it and I actually learned for myself who God was. He revealed so many things to me, because that really is the biggest question, right? Who is God? The Lord gives Moses an assignment, and Moses responds with, Who am I, right? Who am I to do what you've asked me to do, Lord? And that's when God reassures Moses, I will be with you. When Moses presses the Lord for an identifier, God brings the focus back to himself. Because that's what he does. He always brings the focus back to himself. Rereading Exodus 3:14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall thy say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. I am that I am, translated in Hebrew, because the Bible was not in English first. It's translated, I will be who I will be. I love that. I will be who I will be. God was establishing his identity as to be, or we've heard it before, as Yahweh. And he continues to be more specific in verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. He is saying, I'm not just any God. I am the God. I was present throughout your history, and I am present right now. The Yahweh, Jehovah, self-existent, the eternal. I am that I am. God's identity is not a mystery. And this is what the current culture does not understand. The ways of God might be a mystery. We don't understand all of his ways. But his identity is not a mystery. He always has told us who he is. Because the Lord wants us to know him. His identity is not a secret. We just have to truly seek him out, and it will be shown. Now let's go into the New Testament in John 8, and we're going to start in verses 31 through 32, and we're going to spend a little bit more time in this chapter. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, the people that actually believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. My word, he says. and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My word in this verse is translated from the Greek logos, which means the word. And there's a couple uses for that in the scripture, but the use here is the word of God. Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people, and he was tying himself to their history, to those Jews which believed on him. He was talking to believers who were taught the scripture. He wasn't talking to people who didn't know what the word of God said. And the people are like, how is this young man from Nazareth, born of a carpenter, speaking as though he is equal with the Yahweh, the God of our father Abraham? This is one reason I will say that there is tension within Christianity today and denominations today, and why sometimes we can be so confused who really has the truth, who truly knows God. And I will say that you either believe what Jesus says about himself or you don't. And that's the difference. And there has been so many churches that have built up truly communities and have built up an entire mindset and doctrine without having this foundation, because most people don't believe what Jesus said about himself. And in this context, the Jews did not. They were mad, offended, and outraged, and you'll see it very soon. But just remember that someone's negative reaction to the truth does not make it less true. Through his words, Jesus was establishing who he was and what the Jewish people needed to do to be set free. To be set free from sin. To be set free from unbelief of who he was. To be set free from lies. They were not convinced, unfortunately. Jesus 8:33 says, then answered him, they answered him. The Jews answered Jesus, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. That's interesting. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? See, Jesus was speaking about the spiritual, but their response was wrapped up in the natural. That's what we do. That's what sin does. It keeps our eyes focused on the flesh, on now, on the natural. And Jesus saying, look higher. I'm talking about the spiritual world. When you are so invested in the culture, in religion, and not in a relationship with God, you are going to be more concerned about the natural man than the spiritual man. And this back and forth continues throughout the passage. So I want you to see it. Jesus speaking about the truth which within the spiritual realm, and the Jews responding within their own carnal human nature. John 8, 42 and 43. This is Jesus' response to that. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Not only is Jesus claiming to be God in the flesh, I proceeded forth, but he's also saying that every word he says is equal to every word from God. Jesus continues to challenge them. In verses 44 and 45, he gets a little deep here, deeper than he already went. Ye are of your father, the devil. Ouch. And the lusts or desires of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Jesus is bringing a holy conviction that is meant to lead them to repentance about their ways. He's saying that their lusts or their desires to prove that the head of their spiritual life, which is what the word father means, is the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. It's a very strong word. Murderer means manslayer. The devil is a manslayer. That's why he's the father of lies. He will never care for you. There is no truth in him. And he's not just some mystical creature with red horns, as we imagine him. He used to be with God. He was a fallen angel. And I do have a lesson about that. Maybe we'll get into it a different time. So he's jealous of what you and I can have with God, because he can never get that back. And he knows that his days are numbered, because very, very soon the Lord is going to cast them away forever. But until then, he's going to keep speaking lies, and he's going to keep trying to get our eyes and our focus on the natural when Jesus is asking us to look higher to the spiritual. Amen. And I do feel that there is a hesitancy that people don't want to preach or teach about the devil anymore, maybe out of fear or that it's too harsh. But the devil's identity is not hidden either. Our focus can be blurred by his sneaky, convincing lies, but God knows who he is. And when you get closer to God, he will show you who the devil is, and then you will know the difference. Jesus is like, let me tell you who I am, but also let me expose who I am not. I am not the devil. I'm going to expose him to you too, because you have believed his lies and he's nothing but a manslayer. He does not love you, but I do. And why would Jesus speak this way and use this language? Language is important. God is love, that's why. And he is truth. And when he sees a lie, Jesus speaks to it. Because the goal was to win them to himself. And that should be our goal too. It's easy to forget, but our goal truly is to help win souls to Christ, not to ourselves to make us feel good, and not to bring them shame, but to win them to Christ, because true revelation is going to lead them to true repentance. And that's where the change happens. John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He's not mincing any words. He's truly letting them know what the truth is. Jesus highlights a separation between them. And that's also what's getting them upset. He's setting himself apart from them. And he's pointing to where they are spiritually. Their beliefs are in opposition of God. And reading his words verse after verse, there is a buildup. And here's their response. What do you think it is? John 8:48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? The Jewish people come back with, are you saying we are not morally honest to call you a Samaritan with a devil, meaning possessed? Jesus, are you telling me that you are not who we have believed you to be? Because here's the hard truth. If they chose to believe Jesus in this moment, they would have to admit that their belief was wrong. And that they would have to admit that they were wrong about his identity. And they would have to abandon their own belief system. And that's the same with us. There are things that we've believed about God that's not true. Because of the culture, because of whatever we've been taught by people around us, maybe our upbringing, maybe our childhood. Maybe there was a popular meme or reel on Instagram or Facebook, or maybe not Facebook for the younger people, TikTok. But And there are a lot of people out there who try and position themselves as experts or as people who have that power to bring forth the word. But if their word does not line up with the word, if it doesn't line up with what Jesus said about himself, it is a lie from the devil. And we need to rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And we need to go to the source. Whatever somebody's trying to feed you, don't eat it. Go to the source and eat this book first. This is where we need to go first. Amen. There's a difference between who we think God is versus who God really is. And there's this tension that's bubbling up here in this confrontation. John 8, 49 through 51. This is Jesus answering them. You notice how Jesus is so good. He's so patient. He answers them. Most of us would be like, bye. I don't want to talk to you. And there's a time and a place for that, okay? But he's trying to make a point because he cares about their heart and their soul. He doesn't want them to go to hell. He wants them to be saved. He's trying to win them to himself. So he will be patient and he will answer whatever questions that you have. Jesus answered John 8, 49 through 51. I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, I know sometimes this language can be confusing to us because it's in the English, but if you really study it and you go through the words, it's actually not confusing at all. Jesus is trying to get them to understand we as humans should not seek our own glory, that there is only one deserving of glory, one that seeks and judges, and it's not man. And the word saying here also translates as logos. So when Jesus is speaking, he's telling the Jews that if they keep the words that he is saying, that I am saying, it is the same as keeping God's word. My words and his are the same. And that's a very big deal to the Jewish people. John 8, 52 through 53. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Yeah. Now you're proving that, you know, we were right. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, you're saying, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? In a different version, a version that I actually like, International Standard Version, of verse 53, it says it this way. You aren't greater than our father Abraham who died, are you? The prophets also died. Who are you making yourself out to be? The Jewish people are still thinking naturally. And they are buckling down on their claims. I'm not going to change my mind. I've made up my mind about who you are. I don't care what you say to my face. I'm sticking to what I believe about you, no matter how wrong it is. And we have to be careful because we can be comfortable in our lies. And even the lies don't look like lies. We think that they're true. But again, if they're not confirmed by the word of God, then they are not truth. John 8, 54 through 56. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. How is that? Abraham is dead. the prophets are dead. This is the New Testament. Jesus is reiterating the purpose of being on the earth, the human expression of God come to give his life for mankind. And I believe that the first half of this explanation is to reveal his unselfishness. But in addition, Jesus is saying that the father of their lineage, Abraham, the one that they honor generation after generation, knows Jesus. And on top of that, he's rejoicing and he's glad about it. Either he's crazy or he really does have a devil. John 8, 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. You're not even 50 yet. And hast thou seen Abraham? What are you even talking about? And this next statement is a statement that I wanted to get to from Jesus, and this was the final straw for them. John 8, 58 through 59. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They're going to stone him to death. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The International Standard Version says it this way: Jesus told them, truly I tell all of you with certainty, before there was an Abraham, I am. The Jewish people knew the story of Moses and the burning bush. This was what they've been taught as children, generation after generation. They knew the significance of the Lord God Almighty proclaiming his name was I am. So for this Jesus, physically, as a man in front of their eyes, to say this phrase, before Abraham was, I am, he was claiming the identity of God. Before Abraham's existence, I existed. And they were enraged. Because when you don't want to let go of who you think God is, the truth will make you mad. You ever told somebody the truth and you just see them get enraged? Or somebody shares a truth with you about who you are and you get mad? And then when the dust settles, you go, you know what, you were right. I do that. Truth doesn't make us feel happy sometimes, because we have to put it before our own thinking, our own emotions, and we don't want to do that. Well, the purpose of God is to be known, and our purpose is to know him. It's really not that complex. But there are layers and layers of generational deception, of cultural belief systems, of our own personal sin that people don't know about, that makes it difficult for us to believe the truth. But I am thankful that no matter what, we have his word to continually teach us who he is. And if we would just believe it, it will change everything forever. Over and over, Jesus said, believe my words. Believe what I'm saying. My word is alive because I am the word. I am that I am. John 1:1. We love this verse. We do. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Before the beginning, before Genesis and Abraham and Moses, it was just God. That's why they wanted to stone Jesus. He was proclaiming this by applying it to himself. And the word here in the Greek is also translated as logos each time in this verse. Isn't that interesting? God's identity is attached to his word. Now watch this. If you go down to John 1:14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, the Logos, was made flesh. The Logos is Jesus, the true Almighty God. The Logos that existed in the beginning, before the world began, is the same Logos that became flesh. Jesus is the great I Am, the first and the last. He's the author and he is the finisher. Our God has a name, and it is the name of Jesus. Amen. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. He is not three different people. He is not three different persons. And this was hard for me as somebody who grew up as Catholic. I was so confused who to pray to. I prayed the same prayer two, maybe three times just to make sure each person heard what I was saying. Okay, God, I'm going to pray to you. And then Jesus, give me a minute. I'm going to pray to you. And then give me a minute, Holy Ghost, I'm going to pray to you. Does that make any sense? No, it really truly does not. And this was something that the Lord really wanted me to reiterate, but there is no Trinity. There are no three individuals. Jesus said that he was God. The Word confirms it. And if you don't want to take my word for it, and if you still are not sure about this word, why don't you look into our secular history, because it actually does confirm it too. In the Britannica website, do you remember Encyclopedia Britannica's? They had like somebody come to your door and ring the doorbell. Do you want all of this for $19.99 before the internet? And we're like, yes, please. Well, now we have the internet. Praise God. But this is what the Britannica website says about the Trinity. And this is secular, meaning non-Christian. Neither the word Trinity nor the explicit doctrine appears in the New Testament. Nor did Jesus and his followers intend to contradict the Shema in the Hebrew scriptures. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, Deuteronomy 6:4. The earliest Christians, however, had to cope. That's what they said. That's what the phrase said. Had to cope with the implications of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't understand when the Lord came how much he stirred up. And of the presumed presence and power of God among them, i.e. the Holy Spirit. This just called God the Holy Spirit. Britannica.com.org. Whose coming was connected with the celebration of Pentecost. That's why I'm Pentecostal. Amen. The concept of the Trinity is actually not found in Scripture when you research it. I've researched it myself. I didn't want to just take somebody's word for it, the preacher's word for it. I searched it for myself. And it was only introduced as part of the Christian language when an ancient church council voted on it. People, human flesh like us, who are prone to believe the lies of the devil, voted on the word Trinity. It is not in the Bible. The word one is in the Bible many times. Worldhistory.org says this. The word Trinity appears nowhere in the Bible. The concept was finalized at the first council of The first council of Nicaea in 325 CE. After years of debate, it was their solution to their own problem in their own mind that actually was not a problem at all. It was an attempt to articulate, to make us feel like we understand the Lord. Christianity's belief in the oneness of God, that's what this says. Christianity's belief in the oneness of God with their claims about Jesus. It didn't say his claims. Remember he said, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to my words. And their experiences in the Spirit. So it is historically proven that the Trinity was actually made up and a concept to try and help man cope with understanding Jesus in his identity, to articulate the oneness of God. But they fall flat because there is nowhere in the scripture where the apostles taught that there were three people. You won't find it. However, you will find more confirmation that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. And we read the scriptures this morning. I didn't skip anything. And did it sound like Jesus was confused? It sounded like he was repeating himself over and over and over. And he still repeats himself over and over now in 2024, and we still don't get it. Who seemed confused? People, us, the one behind our nose, the flesh. Because it's easy for us to believe a lie. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. You are of your children of the devil because he is a liar. And you're believing lies. Did God need us to swoop in and create this fun word, this wholesome word, or this concept to define him? No, he didn't need that. He already defined himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Does not sound like three people to me. Amen. So who is the I Am? What is God's name? And if you believe in the Trinity and in that false doctrine, you actually can't answer that. His name is not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those are not names. Those are titles. Those are roles in which he operates. And if there were three people in the Godhead, then why did the Father choose to make me in his image only? Why aren't there three of me? Because I could really use some help down here. Anybody else could use three of them? Maybe if they were mute, but that's just me. Well, what does Genesis, my husband say amen. What does Genesis 1:27 tell us? This is a classic verse. We're going to go back to the beginning. That's where we're going to find him. Did you know you could find Jesus in Genesis? Yes, amen. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Because we have a personal God. If the Godhead was a team of effort, operated by three co-equals, they had to be co-equal. They each had to have the right amount of power. Boom, boom, boom. But how selfish was the Father? We weren't made in the image of three persons, right? Because there's only one. I don't have three brains. I don't have three hearts or three mouths. Again, my husband say amen. But I don't think I can handle three mouths, to be honest. I have enough trouble with the one I have. But we also don't have three souls. We have one soul. And the Logos breathed life into our one soul. And I will make it personal since we love examples, but my name is JC. That is my government name. No. But I am a wife, a mother, and a daughter. I operate differently in these titles, but I'm still very much myself in all three of these titles. All of these roles are important. It doesn't mean that I'm three different people under this invisible umbrella that's a mystery. Each title is not a separate identity of who I am. But it's part of one identity. And it's part of who I am. My name is JC. There is only one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, one I Am, and it's Jesus. Now, I don't want to skip. So we're going to actually go into the second part of John 1:14, the part that people usually do skip. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Begotten sometimes is forgotten when people are reading this verse. But it means one and only. Or to give birth to. The Lord Jesus Christ becoming flesh only had to happen once. It happened one time. And that's what this portion of the verse is referring to. Hebrews 9:29, again, the New Testament. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Only had to happen one time. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus defeated death and sin on the cross. His blood has real power. Why? Because he is God. Your Father became your Savior. Nobody else. He didn't just send his Son to die for you. He became the Son. Why would he send one child to die for another child? Because we are his children. That's not true love. True love is, I will become that Son. I will become that Savior. I will become that sacrifice for you because I love you. And I will give you my life to save yours. I will take your place in that grave, but I will overcome it so that you can overcome it today. Amen? Amen. Language changes everything. Language changes everything. The word is very clear. God is the Logos, become the Lamb. And if we need more proof, sure, let's go into the word. Isaiah 45, 22 and 23. Look unto me. Man, that father is sure selfish. If there's three people of the Godhead, he keeps saying, me, 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 me. Look to me, look to me. Not us. And God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. I have sworn by myself. Can we get any more clearer? And the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. And let's look at what it says in the New Testament in Philippians 2, 10 and 11. See if you truly have the scriptures together, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will see the correlation between the two. God confirms who he is in both. Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wait, but didn't God say in Isaiah that I am God and there is none else, and that unto me every knee shall bow? God said in Isaiah that unto me every knee shall bow. And then in the New Testament, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow because they are one. Jesus is God. And he placed limitations on himself for you and for us, for our eternal benefit, because that's what he does. He is love. We did not deserve it. We did not earn it. He did it so that he can be known and we can know him. Colossians 2, 6 through 9 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, he's talking to the church here. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That's when we think we're brilliant in our own minds. And vain deceit, when we put ourselves equal as God. We deceive ourselves. After the tradition of men, just because you were taught it for years and years and years does not mean that it's true. You have to put it up against the word. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. If what you're believing about God is not after Christ, then you need to question it. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness, all the power of the deity is in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is God. God in the flesh, the Logos, become the Lamb. The International Standard Version says it this way, and I love it. Because all the essence of deity inhabits in him in bodily form. People might not agree with you. A lot of people will agree that there is only one God. They're like, sure, I believe there's one God. You're not telling me anything different. But when you say that Jesus is God, they're like, no, 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 I can't run with that. I don't think so. And Jesus is saying, but I am. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So if they don't believe that Jesus is God, they're ignoring the word of God when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us who he is. His identity is not hidden. And if it's hidden because of the devil's lies. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. Revelation 1:8. Now that was Isaiah, the Old Testament. So let's go into the New Testament. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, declares the Lord God. The one who is, who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. The Almighty. There's only one. And Alpha and Omega is actually the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Jesus states he is the beginning and he is the end. He is the first and the last. And I love the imagery when Sister Lisa teaches, when you are standing in a line of people, are you alone? No. You might wish you were, but you're not. And you're waiting in that long line. And then one by one, everybody goes. Okay. Then you're by yourself. So who's the first and the last of that line? You. There's nobody else in the line with the Lord. It's just him. There's not three people in that line. He can't be the first and the last if there were three persons in that line, because there's not. Hebrews 13:8-9. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body and one spirit. Likewise, ye are called to the one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Amen. Why don't we stand? I have one last scripture, and then I'm going to ask us to give God some praise tonight, today. I'm so used to Wednesday night. Isaiah 43:11-13. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. He's throwing the second person of the Godhead under the bus again. No, he's not. Because that does not exist. I have declared, not we, and have saved, and I have shewed, not we. When there is no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? All right, why don't we lift up our hands? And I want us to also lift up our faces. I don't want our chins to be down. This is a sign of praise. We are giving him glory and honor. I want us to say, Jesus, thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for showing me who you are. Help us, Lord God, to understand that just because we believe something does not mean it's true. I want you all to say thank you to Jesus for revealing himself to you. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for proclaiming your truth and for giving us the word, Lord God, that we can go into. Lord God, I pray that the word that you brought today will bring forth fresh revelation. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to the lies. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing to us the truth about who you are and the truth about the devil, Lord God. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to follow your ways, to follow your truth, Lord God. Help us to shut out the mouth of the enemy, to shut out, Lord God, those lies that we've been believing for far too long, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess. There is only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. We are so thankful, Lord God, that there is no other name that can save except the name of Jesus. There is no other name that can save you. There is no other God that is your Savior. There is the God become flesh and dwelt among us. And he gave his life for you. His blood covers everything because it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't we clap our hands and just give honor to the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this truth. I'm going to pray a dismissal. Lord, we love you. As we go forth throughout the day, let us be reminded of your word. And let us go into it ourselves. Let us take time with you every day to come to you. This is not the end, Lord. This is the beginning of more revelation to come. Help us to take time out of our days to be with you, to hear you speak, to get away from the noise, and to focus on the Word, the Logos. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Bless every person in this house and those listening online. We're grateful for your Word, for your truth, for your identity. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be dismissed.